Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Jeffrey Mickler, the local superior of the Society of St. Paul in the Diocese of Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Delighted to be here.
Yeah, great to have you again. Today we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. We're starting to go through the Ten Commandments, and we're going to continue a discussion on the First Commandment, which is, I am the Lord your God, you shall not have strange gods before me. So question 355 asks, Father, what does that mean, you shall not have strange gods before me?
Well, to make certain that the God we're worshiping isn't created in our own image and likeness, but we should remember we're created in God's image and likeness. Now, strange gods would be gods that contradict the revelation we find in the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament. There's superstition. There's all types of magical rites and rituals that are involved in so many of the cultures of the world today, and ours as well. And then people also worship power and money, and these types of idols are definitely contrary to the God of love, the Creator, that is behind all things visible and invisible.
So in other words, one of the things that this commandment forbids us to do is to be superstitious.
Yes. Superstition promises personal freedom. If you do A, B, C, and D, you will be healthy, wealthy, and successful. But it generally binds us up so that we're afraid of everything. We have all types of fears, anxieties, taboos that rule our life, and they do not set us free, but they really enslave us.
Okay. The Catechism says that this commandment forbids us to adore other gods and pagan deities, or to worship an earthly idol, or to devote oneself entirely to some earthly good, like money, influence, success, beauty, youth, and so on. This commandment also forbids us to be superstitious, which means to adhere to esoteric, magic, or occult, or New Age practices, or to get involved with fortune-telling or spiritualism instead of believing in God's power, providence, and His blessings.
All of these things are fraught with dangers, psychological dangers, personal dangers, financial difficulties, because people waste their entire financial resources sometimes going to seances, fortune tellers, etc. But mostly, they're dangerous because they begin to shrivel the human soul. They begin to harden the human heart, and they begin to really impoverish the human imagination. So this first commandment of worshiping the God of all things visible and invisible is so important. And how that God is revealed in the prophets of Israel and the lawgivers of Israel and in the very person of Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world for the believer.
You know, another point that a lot of Christians and Catholics don't realize is when you're reading your astrology, again, to put faith in that is unchristian, because instead of putting your faith and trust in God, you're putting your faith in, you know, what it says, depending on what sign you were born under. Mm-hmm. Same thing with fortune cookies, you know, to put faith in something that would be in a fortune cookie is different than putting your faith and trust in God.
Now, there's another big question today. Besides superstition, we know Christianity is in a world with many other ancient and great religions. And the Church, under the Vatican Council's document on non-Christian religions, has showed a great deal of I would say, respect for them. Hinduism, it complements for its antiquity and its desire to live a life pure of evil desires through meditation, rites, and rituals. It invites Islam to have a peace with the Christian world after so many centuries of conflict. It reaches out even to the animist religions of the world, showing how their respect for nature has a great value. And the document also then especially reconsiders our Jewish roots and invites all to have a different relationship with Judaism than we've had in the past. None of this violates the First Commandment. We're not worshiping Allah in the same sense that the Muslims are, or worshiping Yahweh like the Jews. We are not becoming animist like the indigenous peoples of the world, but we respect whatever is good, holy, and wholesome in them, as St. Paul would say in his writing, and reject whatever is not. So this is a very important attitude that the Catholic Church has today towards world religion. And in the process, we enrich ourselves in knowledge and understanding, and we position ourselves to show others really that Christ is inviting them to embrace an even greater understanding of God than they may have at the current moment. But that's an invitation, not given with force, but just given in love.
That's a great point that you make, Father, because we are... I'm becoming more and more aware of beliefs of other people who obviously aren't Catholic and maybe don't even go to church. Buddhism is mm-hmm. is another one. Mm-hmm. Jehovah Witnesses mm-hmm. is another one that's prevalent. Mormonism. So I think it's important that we understand and respect the beliefs of other people, but it's more important, I think, if not as important, to know what we believe. And that's why what we're doing here on the show in sharing the Catechism of the Catholic Church, so that we can know with certainty what we do believe as Catholics and what we know, what's been revealed by God to His Church. And again, by understanding that, now when we get in conversation with somebody of a different faith, we can speak more confidently, but like I like how you put it, we can do it in love. We can do it in love, and that way we're inviting people to consider Christ. And maybe to come to church. So we're inviting them, we're loving them, we're not, you know, going toe-to-toe and being confrontational about it, but we're doing it in a loving way, and I like the way that you put that.
The world today has 7 billion people. It's going to have many more billions in the future. And when historians 500 years from now examine the 20th century, there'll be World War II, those conflicts, but they're going to be most interested in that small document from the Vatican Council where the world's largest believing community looked out at the other believing communities of the world and said, can we live in peace rather than in conflict? And if we could do that, the world will be a better place. And if we fail to do that, there'll be hell on earth.
Well said, Father. Question 356 in the UCAT asks, is esotericism, as found, for example, in New Age beliefs, compatible with the Christian faith?
The answer is no, because it's oversimplified. One of the many New Age approaches, it's so amorphous you can't really pin it down, is the so-called book, The Secret. That if you just picture something in your mind and meditate on it, it'll come to you. So if you picture getting wealth, it'll come to you. If you picture a beautiful woman coming into your life, she'll find you. And you do all of these things for what? To have your own worst needs and desires fulfilled, rather than picturing, how could I give my life to others? How could I sacrifice myself for the good of all? How could I put my will at the will of God rather than using my will to manipulate and control others? And at the heart of New Age religions and practices, you'll always find that thread.
That's a good point. In other words, instead of depending on God, I can depend on my own ability to use my imagination, to use my creativity of my own mind and create the vision of what I want my life to be. And if I spend enough time, or as some people say, if I have enough faith, then it'll happen. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. You know, what's God's will? What's God's plan for my life? That's, like you say, that's never brought up. The reality that, that God is not only real, but he's a personal being. And again, he loves us, and he wants to be a part of our life. And if we don't make him a part of our life, I'm glad you brought that up, because I know a lot of people who really rely on the principles in that movie and in the book, The Secret. And the thing that it totally ignores is, what about God? Where's God fit in the picture, right?
It's God is deliberately excluded from the picture. And that's at the heart of so many of the esoteric movements in the world today.
Right, and that's something that even Satan, way back when with Adam and Eve, tried to get God out of the picture by confusing him and saying, well, you know, God won't notice if you take a bite of this apple, you know.
Right. Yeah. Satan's playbook is pretty well known.
Okay, question 357 asks, is atheism always a sin against the first commandment?
Atheism is an attitude and a lack of a belief system. It is not a sin in the sense of a personal decision to do something wrong. But atheism lays the foundation to do everything wrong, because once you've embraced it, why should you be kind to your neighbor? Why should you avoid being violent? Why shouldn't you exploit the poor? See, atheism provides the foundation for all of the other sins if a person decides to go that way. Most atheists follow conventional morality and don't sin, but they have no reason for being moral that's substantial. It's just somebody's bright idea, or it's what society says is good or evil. So it's more like the foundation of a whole plethora of sins rather than a specific sin that you could pin down itself.
So atheism is the view that God does not exist, but agnosticism is a little different than atheism.
Yes, it's humbler. It says, I don't know if God exists or not. He might or might not. Maybe something will happen that will convince me that he does. And we pray for the agnostics that they find that something that will convince them of God's reality and convince them very quickly, because we're all on the clock in this life, and we want to find the Lord before we step from this world.
Good point. And I think my youngest son would fall in that category, and I think a lot of people, because it's very convenient to not believe in God. And that way you have no accountability, and you have no responsibility for your actions, and you can, you know, just basically do whatever it is you want. All right, Father. Well, we've been listening to Father Jeffrey Mickler as we talk about the First Commandment in the UCAT, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And this has been Tim Perry, your host for Faith with Father. Until next time, may God bless you and yours. See you soon. Bye now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.